excited. So, Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your goodness and your grace in the land of the living. I thank you, Jesus, that you're with us, that you're here right now, that you're doing amazing things in this room and in this church and in the Eastern Sierras. And so, God, we thank you, and we just choose to lean into you today. We love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Have your way, King Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a message that is from the book of Habakkuk. And it was really just ministering to me. And I'll just turn there. I was going to start with Matthew 24, but we'll see. We might go there later. This whole week I've been in Matthew 24. As I read the words in red, I'm reminded that Jesus warns the church to not be deceived. And last week, it's like all of a sudden all these scriptures are just popping out at me. I'm reading last week about Galatians, and Paul is warning the church of Galatia, church, who has bewitched you? Who has deceived you? Who's infiltrated with false doctrine and false theology? And so he encourages them in the Lord. And then I'm like, oh man, Paul was a fireball. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute, Jesus. Jesus talks this whole thing about being deceived and false prophets and false, just everything that's going to rise up in the end times. And I just want us to be a church that has a sharp discernment and that is aware of things that are going on. And so many times it's easy to get caught up in all the propaganda and caught up in all the conspiracy theories and caught up in all these things that are swirling and twirling out there. But I would just say, just stay focused and stay grounded in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to leave that there. We might visit that in a minute. But I want to get to the good stuff. So Habakkuk is a message that has been in my heart. And I feel like in the last couple years, if there was ever a book in the Bible that shows me where I'm at, it's this. And I hope that you see yourself in this book as well. And it's pretty amazing, the contrast from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And so what I want to say, what I want to talk about is hope. Say hope. And I guess you could say hope in the valley, or just hope in your story, hope in your life. But I love the scripture, Proverbs 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And I don't know about you, but I feel like for myself and for many in the church that I've come in contact with, we've had sick hearts because we have allowed hope to leave and we have gotten our eyes off of who hope really is. And hope is a person. It's Jesus. Amen. And so I know during this 2 years, there's been times where I'm like, man, my heart is troubled and my heart is feeling heavy and it's feeling weighed down. And so what do you do with that? And there's plenty of scriptures in to back up what you do with that. But for today, I felt like it was important to go into this story of Habakkuk. And, you know, you all know who he is. He's the minor prophet, 600 BC, speaks to God on behalf of the people. But it all starts in chapter 1. I'll just start reading a little bit here. And listen how it starts. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear me. Even cry out to you, there's violence, and you do not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see this trouble? For plundering and violence before me, there is strife and there's contention is arising. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. And he goes on and on in chapter 1. And so as I look at chapter 1, I feel like this is a lot of us in 2020. What's happening? There's so much swirling and twirling in this context. There's war. The unrighteous are taking over and flourishing in the land. God's people are being pushed back. And so here is the prophet, and he's in this place of crisis, and he's in this place of confusion, and he's in this place of wondering. And I've kind of come to this point in my life where I feel like it's okay to have real conversations with the Lord. And just to like stop with the facade and stop with this thing that we have to be perfect all the time. But like, even this man of God, even this prophet was like, I'm confused. And I'm like, really? I just don't know what's going on. Like, has anybody else ever been there? Yes. I'm wondering, Lord. And this has been us, Americans, the church in chapter one. Like, you know, so many people, do we mask? Do we don't mask? Do we close? Do we not close? Do we do this? Do we do that? All this stuff swirling and twirling in China and Russia and Ukraine. All, you know, it causes you to scratch your head. And you're like, I'm wondering what is going on, because I've heard the prophecies, I've read the scriptures, I believe that God is here. What is happening? And so this is what we see in chapter one. But then it changes in chapter two. And so he goes from asking why to then in chapter two, listen, it says, then the Lord answered me and he said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Aren't you glad you don't have to write on tablets anymore? That he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Say, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. And the word that stands out to me in chapter 2, this whole chapter, is the word waiting. Waiting. And so in chapter 1, we have this confusion. We have wondering, what's going on, Lord? Like, why is this happening? Why is this happening to my family? You know, I've been in situations, you know, whether it was when my daughter was sick, it's like, I'm wondering, I'm in a whirlwind of confusion. Why is this happening? You know, I gave my life as a missionary. Why is this going on? You know, and there's confusion, there's wondering. But I think if you just stay in God's presence long enough, you'll go from wondering to waiting. And it's in the waiting that you begin to hear. It's in the waiting that our ears begin to get opened up and we begin to hear the Lord speak to us. Come on. Amen. I like his voice better. Waiting. You go from wondering to waiting. And then there's like, and then chapter 3. So it's like this roller coaster of emotion and this roller coaster of faith. But chapter 3 is so powerful, and the entire tone of the book changes in chapter 3. And so here he is, I'm confused, I'm wondering, what's happening? Chapter 2, I'm waiting, I'm listening, God, you're speaking to me. And then chapter 3, this is really good. So it starts chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. You can say that twice or three times. Shigionoth. And that word is a really interesting word. And I've probably read over that a million times. And I'm like, that's just a weird word. I'm just going to roll right past that. But if you study it and if you research that word, it's actually only found in the Bible two times. And it's in this chapter 3, verse 1, and the other is in Psalm chapter 7 with David. And what it is, it's like this praise. It's this passionate praise. It's passionate prayer. It's like it's something that is like it's coming in with lots of emotion, lots of passion. It's like when you're listening to music and it's kind of like going on this certain direction. They're like, they're building. It's really wordy. And then it's like, boom, and then it takes off. And it kind of takes you on this new place, right? Have you ever been there? We did it today. Strong emotion, wild, passionate singing, changes in the rhythm, high-spirited praise, enthusiasm. This is what this is. This is the context. And commentators and historians, theologians, they even say that they believe that Habakkuk was a gifted musician, a gifted psalmist. And so he began to grab his stringed instrument, and he's like, no, I've been waiting, I'm listening, now let's just cut loose. Lord, I'm just going to do this thing, and or whatever kind of instrument he had. I bust out the triangle. You're good, Lord. Little cowbell. But it's so powerful. Habakkuk 3:1, Shigionoth, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Remember, say remember. This is so good. So think about everything that's going on, the destruction of the temple, the pushing back of the children of Israel. There's so much idolatry and craziness in the land, and it feels like evil is winning. This is the context of the story. And many in the Bible have found themselves in that same position. And so this is where he's at, chapter 1. But then he says this: God came from Teman, I should say it right, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. What is that? See, like, there's all these words in the Bible, and you could just read right over it and be like, oh, that's a cool Jewish word. I'm just going to keep rolling. But what is that, really? Those are two specific locations that God took his people and gave them refuge in Exodus. And so what is he doing? What is Habakkuk doing? He's saying, I remember that you came through for my family. I remember I wasn't even alive. I wasn't even a glimmer in my parents' eye. But God, you came through. You were faithful then and you'll be faithful now. Delivered us from the Egyptian bondage. You made a way. You parted the Red Sea where it looked like there was no way for us to make it through. And all of a sudden you made it through. He's beginning to rehearse and remember the goodness of the Lord. We got to remember. And that's why I wrote that book, because I'm trying to remember myself. Discouragement can come on any and every single person. No matter how long you've been saved, discouragement can try to come and sneak into your heart. And so you have to remember the testimonies. You have to remember the goodness of the Lord. And it says this, 4 and 6, his splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand. Wow. Where his power was hidden, plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. Oh, come on, Lord. And so he's like, he's just having this moment. And like, just think of this. He's just on his little Yamaha keyboard, or, you know, he's just having this moment with the Lord. And he's just pouring his heart out with passion. Lord, you're good. You've been faithful to my people. You'll be faithful again. I'm remembering. I'm choosing to remember in the midst of warfare, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of people dying, in the midst of all the stuff. I'm choosing this day to remember. That there was, come on, what did he, there were so many things to remember. Bread from heaven, food from ravens, water from a rock. Come on now. Fire from heaven, caused the sun to stand still, shut the mouth of the lions. Rescued Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. There's so much. Oh, Lord, you're so good. And I think it's like the same thing that we say all the time in Christian circles and in church. But I think what he's doing is what we often say and do is like, if he'll do it before, he'll do it again. And so he's rehearsing. He's reminding himself of God's goodness, God's character, God's power. Amen. So say remember. And that's really where I have been camping out. I've been remembering the Lord in my story. I grew up in Mammoth, and I was just a crazy kid, you know, and made some horrible decisions. But the Lord was merciful, and the Lord was gracious. And I could take you back to so many moments where I should have died, where, almost died of a drug overdose. And in the snow, I overheated. And so I took my clothes off. All it was in was my underwear. And I passed out in the snow in Mammoth Lakes at 16 years old. You know, what is your 16-year-old doing? But the Lord spared my life. And he continued to bring people like Dave Nelson and Tom Long and Eric Stovesen, and so many would just come and rally around me and say, no, there's a purpose for your life. I see greatness in your life. And so I love remembering. You have to remember. Come on. And then after you remember, you embrace. Say embrace. And why I chose this word is because that's what his name means. Habakkuk, if you look it up, it is actually, his name means embrace. So I'm going to remember, Lord, and now I'm going to embrace. What do I mean by embrace? I remember who you were in my story. Now I embrace who you are currently in my story. Because he wasn't just back then, he is now. He wasn't just working miracles. We talk all the wonderful miracles of Church of the Mountain in 1972, and we hear the glory days, and it's like all these cool things with Albie and everybody. But he's the same God today that he was back then. Amen. He could do it again. He's doing it, Lord. And so I just got to remind myself of who he is, and he is Jehovah Shalom. When I'm feeling anxious, Lord, you're Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. When I'm feeling like, oh, Lord, there's not enough bread. There's not enough provision. How are we going to get through? How are we going to pay this? How are we going to do this? No. I embrace that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. That's it. When I'm feeling sick, when I was in my bed in quarantine on COVID-19, and I'm like discouraged, and like here I am, you know, preaching to people that God's a healer, and I'm like blowing my nose and eating chicken soup and watching Nacho Libre. And God showed up and spoke to me and did this very thing, like, remember who I am. Remember who I am. And so what is that? I'm remembering that he still is Jehovah Rapha. He is my healer. I embrace that reality. I embrace that you are my healer. You weren't just back then. You are right now. And he is Jehovah Nisi. He's my banner. I love the song that we've sung over in this church many years, you know, His banner over us is love. Yeah. Come on. His banner over us is love. Come on now. His banner over you, his banner over me, his banner over us is love, 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 right? That's how it goes. This is the reality. And so I am remembering that the same God that was with Jeremiah, the same God that was with Isaiah, the same God that was with Habakkuk, the same God that was with Jonah, the same God that was with the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John is the same God that's alive right now. My God is still on the throne. My God is still victorious. My God is still faithful. This is like, and you can say it with passion. Like that, I feel like as I'm reading this, I'm like, he is just like, he's coming from this place of victory, this place of passion. It's not this superficial, like, well, I think you're going to do it, Lord. Like, no, he knows. Look at your neighbor, say, I know. verse 16, 18, it says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree, listen to this, though the fig tree doesn't bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields don't produce any food, though there are no sheep in the pen and there's no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. That's like, we could just say amen and be done right there. Like, that's so powerful. I love reading people that just live by faith. When everything and bullets are flying by and everything's swirling and twirling, but they just make a decision in their heart. Because he could, in the beginning, chapter 1, he's being controlled. His emotions are being controlled by the environment. By everything that's happening. His circumstances. And then all of a sudden you see it begin to shift. And his thoughts and his mind and his heart are no longer on the things of this earth. But they're coming from the things of heaven. And he's seen things from now a heavenly perspective. Come on, say rise up.
Rise up.
Rise above the circumstances. And this is exactly what he does. He rises above the circumstances. The circumstances didn't stop. The circumstances were still crazy. But he chooses now to rejoice in the midst of them. To have a heart full of faith, a heart full of praise, a heart full of rejoicing. Right smack dab in the middle of a pandemic. Right smack dab in the middle of war. Right in the middle of craziness. He's like, no, I will worship. I will have a heart of faith. I will have a heart that searches after God. Amen. And so it's like that can be translated a number of ways for us personally. And I feel like it's really relevant for the time that we're living in. But it's like, you know, we can feel that on a daily basis. Even without COVID-19 and without all this crazy stuff. It's like you can feel that when all hell's breaking loose in your life personally. And if you feel the confusion and you feel the whirlwind and you feel attacked. And you feel sometimes we get stabbed in the back by people we love. And sometimes I don't know about you, but it hurts. I don't care when people talk about me that are in the world and call me crazy. Like, go ahead, call me crazy. Call me a Jesus freak. I love it. Say it again. Say it to my face. I don't mind at all. But the thing that I think hurts all of us is when Christians stab each other in the back and talk bad about each other instead of lift each other up. Because you expect more of a person that is in Christ. You expect more of a person that is a brother or sister in the Lord. And then when they begin to shoot fiery darts at your back and not even to your face, it really hurts, right? And so what do you do in that? Because I've had that. And you just say no. And I'm choosing to worship. I'm choosing to rejoice. I'm choosing to remember. Amen. I'm choosing to embrace. Say embrace. Say Shiganoff. Shiganoff. This, not Stroganoff, but Shiganoff. This isn't a half-hearted song. This is a prayer. This is a decree. This is a song that's coming from the depths of my being. From the very depths of my heart. And the Bible says, I love the scripture where it says that deep calls unto deep. That there's a deep place in my heart that will never be satisfied unless God fills it. And it's only filled by the deep places of his heart. And so the deep in me is longing and crying out for the deep in God. Amen. There's a cry in all of our hearts. Crying out for the Lord. And you got to tap into that Shiganoff. Tap into it. And it's this praise. I'm so encouraged by his life because it's like, it's not happened. It's the shift hasn't happened, but he's saying, I will praise you before the provision. I will praise you before my eyes see the breakthrough. I'm going to see it in my heart first. I'm going to see it in my spirit, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to remember. Come on, this is faith. This is a life of faith. Praise with exclamation marks. Whew, come on, just going for it. Hallelujah. Verse 19. It says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Habakkuk 3:19. I love this. It's the confusion in chapter 1. It's the waiting, but then it's the faith in chapter 3. It's everything changes. Everything moves. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've loved the mountaintop experiences with the Lord. And I've enjoyed so many beautiful mountaintop experiences when these amazing testimonies. And it just feels like, you know, you're having this like Sound of Music moment. Like you're just on the top of the world. And I love those moments. And I'll forever like just cherish those moments. But there's something so special and significant about valleys as well. I love the mountaintops and I grow closer to him and I rejoice in those and I long for mountaintop experience, but I learn to truly trust the Father and I truly learn to walk by faith in the valleys. Amen. I got a couple more things I want to say, but could we get this amazing little duo right here? Because I feel like you can't like talk about this kind of message without doing it. And sometimes you just have to you have to put application to what you're talking about. Let's read that again in verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk to my high heels. Not on my high heels. He will make me walk on high heels. God is faithful. God is faithful in all seasons of our life. And I know it's been a really rocky and tumultuous journey in this last 2 years. And it's like one thing after the next, right? It's like, it just feels like hell is just unleashing thing after thing after thing. And we're playing in a game that we've never received instructions for. But I feel like we have a compass. And yet we don't know what's in front of us. We know where God is, and we know where he's been. And we know what he's done in our life. And so we have to begin to remember the goodness of the Lord in our life. Remember the testimonies. Remember the things that he spoke to you in the secret place. I remember, you know, we were in Los Angeles, and my daughter's hooked up to all kinds of tubes and wires, and she has, you know, stage 4 cancer, and they say she's dying. And, you know, and it's like I was in this moment of confusion, great confusion, great sadness. I couldn't even like muster up the words to pray. I had no faith in that moment. And that's okay. It's okay to have a question mark. It's okay to say, I don't get this. This sucks. What the heck? It's okay to be real with the Lord. And this is what we were doing in that moment. But after a week or two, we begin to stand. And I just begin to remember prophetic words. And I begin to remember dreams that the Lord had given to me about my family that I didn't even have yet, and my wife that I didn't even have yet, and a daughter that I didn't even have yet. And all of a sudden, I begin to stand on these promises, and I begin to stand on the words that, you know, when my daughter was dedicated to the Lord in this church, and I begin to remember the words that were spoken over her life. I said, Lord, you're good. You're faithful. And we just stood upon the faithfulness of God, even though we didn't see nothing happening in the natural. And all of a sudden, things begin to shift and things begin to turn. And we begin to see the goodness of the Lord in our little girl's life. I remember Albie calling. We were in the hospital and he calls and he says, your daughter is going to lead worship. And she's got, she's going to pray for many people when she's older and they will be healed. And he begins to talk about all this stuff. And in the moment, your heart definitely wants to believe it, but you can also doubt it and you can question things when you're in the heat of the moment. But that's exactly what she's doing, even at 10 years old. Every day, she's beginning to write her own songs, and she writes worship songs. And so it's awesome to trust God. Don't grow weary while doing good, because you will taste the fruit of God's goodness. You will taste the fruit of His faithfulness. You will taste the fruit of breakthrough. Amen. Come on. And you can't have a chapter 3 in your life until you settle into a chapter 1. Don't just jump to chapter 3. Get real with God and have a chapter 1 and just say, I don't get it. I got some serious questions and I'm mad. And then you switch and then you begin to wait on the Lord and you begin to hear from God. And that's when everything shifts and everything changes, when you quiet yourself and you begin to hear the word of the Lord. And then you begin to have this life of faith, this life of passion. Amen. So don't walk away in chapter 1. Don't quit on God in chapter 2. Get to your chapter 3. Get to your Shigonoth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I just want us to stand to our feet, because I feel like this is a relevant message for where we are as a country. Maybe you're not identifying with this personally. Maybe you are. But I just feel like we just have this moment right now to pour our heart out to the Lord, to connect with Him in a real way. And maybe if you haven't had that wondering, that why, then you can go ahead and do that. But for some of us, we just need to begin to enter into this place of praise, this place of faith, this place of, I know who you are. I know what you're going to do. I know what you've done in my life. And I feel like things are shifting in this room right now, shifting in some marriages right now, shifting in our families. Mountains that seemed like they would never move and situations that seemed impossible. And I just feel like as we get our eyes off of these things and begin to get our eyes on Jesus, once again, the author and the finisher of faith, and everything begins to shift. Hallelujah. And so the enemy is trying. He's trying to slither in like a snake. So it's all these explosions in the spirit and these things happening. Boom, boom, boom. And we feel overwhelmed and we feel heavy and we feel weighed down. And then he slithers in like a snake and he begins to whisper lies and whisper this thing and whisper that thing. And so we have to silence the voices of the accuser. Silence the voices of the accuser in Jesus' name. And get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. Come on, just lift your eyes, lift your hands, lift your voice to Jesus. Let's begin to have a little shiganoth in this house today. Let's begin to have high praise, passionate worship. Step into a place of faith again. God, I just thank you for faith, God. Faith in this room. Lord, even things that we have been holding on to for years, and some have been holding on to a promise for decades, and your heart is growing weary. I thank you, Lord, that right now there's an injection of hope. That we can have hope in the valley. We can have hope in every season of our life. I thank you, Lord, as we remember and as we embrace that hope begins to come, that faith begins to come, that love begins to come. And so, God, we just choose right now. Holy, they're going to lead us in this song, but I just want you personally just have a moment with the Lord.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord on the earth in the beauty of His holiness. In the beauty of His holiness. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, O my soul, in the wonders of His mighty hand, in the wonders of His mighty hand. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Sing to the Lord a new song. Worship the Lord evermore in the glory of His majesty. In the glory of His majesty. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. And say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. He reigns,
He reigns,
He reigns.
Yes, He reigns,
He reigns.
Yes, He reigns,
He reigns. Your banner,
Your banner,
over us is love. Unfailing love.
Your banner,
over us is love. Unfailing love.
Your banner,
over us is love. Unfailing love.
Your banner, your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Oh, your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner over us is love, unfailing love.
Hallelujah.
Your banner.
I want you to put your hand on the person next to you, to your right and to your left. On their shoulder. And we're going to sing this one more time. Your banner. There's power in this. And I just want you to declare this over that individual on your left and right, and over yourself. His banner over us is love.
Your banner,
come on, sing it again.
Over us is love, unfailing love.
Come on.
Your banner, over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner, over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner, over us is love, unfailing love.
Yes, Lord.
Your banner, over us is love,
yes,
unfailing love.
We decree and
great
we declare.
Is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Your banner over us is love.
Come on, just sing it again one more time with faith.
Love.
With power. passion, with courage.
Your banner over us is love, unfailing love.
Over every home in this room.
Your banner over us is love.
Over our children.
Unfailing love.
Jesus.
Your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner over us is love, unfailing love.
Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. And we choose today to remember all that you've done in all of us individually, in our families, in this church. We choose to remember. You were good then. You're good now. You'll be good tomorrow. We choose to remember. And we choose to embrace the reality of who God is in our story. We choose to embrace the goodness of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. We choose to embrace that today. Not any other thing that's swirling around out there. We embrace Jesus. And so, God, we thank you for that. I pray seal this message in our hearts, in our spirits, in this church. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. And everybody that agreed with me said amen. Amen. You're free to go. They're going to just worship for a few minutes. If you want to keep worshiping, go for it. But God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Faithful forever.